Hello and welcome to the Essex League Cricketer podcast with myself, Billy Roan, Alfie Taylor, Philip Marsh. How are we doing, boys? Alfie?
Yeah, not bad, Bill. Just another week closer to death, I'd say. Another week on the golf course. I got a shanks today. Wanted to walk off after four holes. Persevered. I was shit, mate. I was rubbish. How you been, Phil?
I'm good, mate. Phil? I've been in the gulag this weekend quite a bit. played a golf course yesterday, went round for about five par holes and about 6-9, so I don't know what the hell's going on with golf, mate. I got a new set, didn't I? So I can obviously play for half the 18, but the other half I'm absolute toilet. So, still working on my golf.
Right, lads, we've managed to bag another guest this week. We've got England and Essex batsman Daniel William-Lawrence. Dan, how you doing, mate?
Hello, Bill. Yeah, all good, mate. Just another week in paradise, like you boys, on the golf course and trying to stay sane. Yeah,
furloughed, aren't you, Dan?
I am furloughed. I was back to training, as far as I know, I am anyway.
Careful what you say. Yeah,
back to training last week. Nice to hit a few balls and get back to it.
How you hitting them?
Yeah, how'd you hit them?
Actually, surprisingly good. I actually had a few little practices in the garden with my bird's old man. I was in
What's
half decent nick. Just bowls little medium paces.
Did you put him over his head?
Naughty.
Certainly didn't, mate.
What respect in the back garden, is it?
Yeah, you got to. You got
he
to
knows what's good
right,
for him, yeah. Mate, if he wants to get on the honours board at Lord's.
that was
Danny,
quick.
Dan, you worked out how to play on the offside yet?
I have, contrary to a lot of people's belief, I can actually play on the offside.
You do get a bit of stick.
Oh, I think that's a nerve there, Bill. I think you touched a nerve.
I think the last England player to play on the offside was Michael Vaughan. Everyone who just whips things. It's not a problem in my book.
I don't see the point in using the offside.
No, it's overrated, isn't it?
No, just walk across and whack it.
Good
enough for KP. Good enough for you.
I try that. My pad gets blown off.
It's because you're shit.
or it goes between my legs.
So Dan, firstly, just want to say congratulations, mate, on making the 126-man England squad. upcoming test matches against the West Indies and Pakistan. So what's the drill now, mate? Are you going into isolation soon? When do you meet up with the boys? Or... You're probably going to get axed after this podcast, so the drill now.
I think, for the next couple of weeks, we're just training as a group. So all the local lads in London are together. So we've got Curran, Pope, Burns, Folks in our group. So we're just training with us lot for the moment.
Good bowl inside that.
Yeah, it's a lot of throwdowns. And then... And then I'll find out in a couple of weeks if I get into the whittled down squad, where I think you have to lock down in a hotel for, I think it's going to be about 6 weeks if I make the squad.
So how are they working it out, mate? They're just looking at you in the nets and with throwdowns and working out whether you're going to make it or not, if you're not playing games.
I'm honestly not sure. I think the England lot have said that they're sort of just playing it each week by week, because obviously... We're waiting to hear what the sort of government's going to allow and not going to allow. So I think I can imagine they've already got half an idea of who they're going to pick. So, yeah, I honestly don't really know what's going on. I'm just turning up, hitting my balls and then getting gone.
Your winter must go in your favour, though, Dan. You had a brilliant winter in Australia.
It was a great tour. I think it actually might have actually been a bit of a blessing. Because I'm still quite fresh on their mind at the moment.
Yeah.
Having done all right. But who knows, mate? Who knows? Hopefully I get the nod and then, never know, I might get a chance to play.
It's difficult for you, Dan, because you're obviously going to be fighting for a middle order spot and there's a lot of players in the mix for that role, isn't there?
Yeah, definitely. I think I've been lucky enough so far that I've batted everywhere for Essex from 1 to 6. So hopefully if they chuck me in anywhere, I can bat, anywhere from sort of number three to six. But we've got Root there and
Well, don't mind Dan, take the captain's spot.
But I think with Root and Stokes, they're obviously locked in, and Pope's obviously a serious player. It looks quite tough to get in, but you never know. I just keep trying to knock down the door and
just leave your studs. Well, leave your studs in, mate. In the football warm up, just leave your studs in on Pope.
We're not allowed to play anymore, are we?
Is that all through the board? Is it?
Yeah, no more football.
So what do you do
instead? Warm up.
Just play spot like we do at Chingford, mate.
Oh.
Just get around in a circle and kick it around. That's literally the only thing you're allowed to do. And then, like, the warm-up drills now, they're quite tedious. They last about half an hour before you actually get going. So
actually, back on, on spot, are you still as bad as you were 5 years ago?
Horrendous, mate. Horrendous.
You've got to be one of the worst footballers I've ever seen.
Yeah, I know. I bet with Tom Wesley this summer that I couldn't do 100 kick-ups in a row by the end of the summer. If I did it, he'd give me £100, and if I didn't, I have to give him a tenner. And I took it on at the end, and hey, I did 11 kick-ups, and then it went.
Well done, mate.
Yeah. To be fair, Dan, 100 kick-ups is quite a high bar to set, but most people who play football can't do 100 kick-ups.
Yeah, you reckon?
To be fair,
I could do it with a balloon.
I reckon they probably didn't stipulate what ball. You could have got one of them balloon.
Ball, yeah. Done it with your shoulder.
Yeah. Right, let's get off the serious stuff because we've had enough of that already. Daniel, over the years playing together, we've had a few nicknames for you. What are your current nicknames or nickname within your Essex and England side?
I've actually gone through a few, as you know. You and Billy came up with Diags, obviously, when I was younger.
Why is that obvious?
So you're carrying a bit more weight then, though, Dan, weren't you?
Yeah, I wasn't the best looking young lad. I'm not saying I'm a glamour now, but...
You're a vast improvement on what you looked like when you were fucking 15, mate.
Yeah, I wasn't the best thing to look at.
You've had a watch as well, Dan.
What else we got? My nickname at Essex is The Kid. That's...
That's a banger, that one.
Yeah, it's a big one, that.
Banger.
Yeah, I know. Tendo started that. And then
what about Lizard?
Lizard. Yeah, the current England head coach at the moment started Lizard.
Why is that,
Dan?
Because when I bowl my tongue out, don't I? And it's just it's not a pretty.
I don't think anything about your bowling is pretty, mate. So the tongue's a good distraction, actually. Any more?
Yeah, but Lizard and Diags are probably my worst two. But yeah, it's rather Lozer or The Kid now.
Is that has Diags followed through into the pro ranks? Is it?
Yeah, it followed through into the Essex changer for a couple of years actually.
That one got to you, didn't it? You really did.
Yeah, I didn't enjoy it.
we'll have to sneak into the Rose Bowl if you get a game. Under isolation and start heckling Diags.
Big side, big massive side.
What I used to do in outside the Big Brother house, get a drone. Diags, get Diags on from the pavilion.
You obviously had your Lions tour, which being away from home in Australia is obviously exciting. Doesn't matter how old you get, you still end up in a moody pub, bar, whatever. What's the most club cricket thing you've seen whilst on England Lions duty? It could be anything from, I don't know, going out without your box or the whole way through to, I don't know, marking your run up by bowling it, running it out.
Hang on, is that not how you mark your run?
Actually, just quickly, Dan, before you answer that, Phil, I've seen you mark it out and you steamed in quicker than you actually do when you bowl.
Untucked t-shirt. Is there anything that springs to mind, Dan?
But go on, Dan.
You know what, nothing actually sticks out to me, but
it's probably because you're the one who did it.
Alf, you know what it's like, obviously, going out to Australia and you know in grey cricket that they only say one thing. Yeah. Am I allowed to swear on this podcast or not?
You do what
you
want.
Yes, Dan, you obviously haven't listened to this podcast.
You need to think about your England career, though, before you use the C word, probably.
We've dealt with a lot.
I was actually just about to drop a big a big C bomb.
So, well, that was going to be my next question, actually, is, yeah, who gave you the worst chat whilst you were in Australia?
Everywhere, mate. Like, especially in Sydney. We played a game against New South Wales, like second 11, and one of their fielders at slip said to me, there's going to be a job waiting for you in Sainsbury's the next morning or something like that. Like, bearing in mind, I'd already scored about 8,000 runs this trip. Yeah, I know. Like,
did you turn around and tell him how many runs you scored?
I didn't. I've been fucking Sainsbury's if he's a second teamer.
Well, then I actually found out at the end of the week that half of their boys had been axed the week before from New South Wales. So, yeah, we saw him out after the game having a beer, and it was, it was quite a awkward conversation.
The Aussies
awkward,
chat, though,
mate. I would have fucking loved that.
The Aussies like, chat is shit, though, isn't it? Really, it's always
it's horrendous. All they do is just swear at you because they're not. I'm not saying I'm the wittiest bloke in the world, but they're not funny enough to come up with anything actually creative or very good. So, yeah.
So basically, to all the Aussies listening to this podcast, yeah, your sense of humour is shit.
Yeah, but let's see what you got if you come up against Dan. Let's see what you got at the game.
When your bag, you know, you get an England bag, obviously, rocks up at your door, full of new kit. Is that how it works? They send it to you in the post, or it's waiting for you when you first get there?
You usually have a camp at Loughborough, and they have like a big bag full of kit for you.
When you get your England shirt for the first time, do you go home and shadow bat in your full pads, England kit, in front of the mirror? You've definitely done this, mate.
Oh, God. You fucking have, haven't you?
I haven't padded up.
But the
shadow batting... On, I heard. Sorry, carry on.
But the shadow bat... Hey. But the shadow batting with the England whites on, has happened a couple of times. You've got to check out the new kit, haven't you?
Do you specify the size then? Because some people obviously like a tight shirt, don't they?
Yeah, they do. I think it's just...
And then some people don't have much choice either.
Those Norfans boys.
Yeah.
No, it's fairly generic, mate. Like, thankfully, for a few lads, the New Balance stuff's quite baggy, so they can hide a couple of extra layers that they've got.
Yeah, you.
All right.
We was touching on
names, Dan.
Yeah, go on.
No. I'll finish that one there.
have people come back from lockdown carrying a few extra pounds, or have the boys been keeping on top of the fitness?
From what I know, like the lads that I've seen at the Oval, they're all in good nick. Because you can't do anything else, can you? Like,
yeah, but those Surrey boys have always, like, they're always seem to be in better nick than everyone else. They just got better gym there, or they get told what to do.
They got a gym at the ground. It's unbelievable. No, like, it's a proper setup. Like, it's the first time I ever went into the home dressing room and the gym and like even the nets and stuff. It's just different level. Like, it's a proper club.
Bit of money there, though, Dan, into that part of London.
Al, do you remember when we went to Dan play at Surrey last year? And did you see the state of this Surrey fitness coach?
He's a big, the one with the massive pipes.
It was April, and it weren't warm. He had the vest on. Shorts on, and he had the biggest arms and calves you've ever seen.
It was freezing, wasn't it? Yeah.
He's the fitness coach now. And
what, for England or Surrey?
Yeah, he's doing it for England this summer.
Oh, mate, you're going to be a machine, Dan.
He's called Daz, mate. He's huge.
Yeah, you can listen to him, ain't you?
Yeah, he's quite scary as well. I don't know what he did before cricket, but...
Yeah, he's got a proper death stare.
Probably don't
him.
Drink any of his protein shakes, oh, Dan, to be fair, just in case you get a drugs test.
It's overrated, mate. Touching on that, Dan, what are the perks of having a girlfriend whose dad's a big fish for the MCC?
oh, God. I thought this might come up.
Are you going to pay your £500 membership fee, you type fuck?
Well, I've only just qualified to be a member, so I think I have to. Like, he's the bigwig at the MCC, and he still has to pay his £500. So I'm not sure they're going
to
let.
Hang on, if you get an England cap, surely you get automatic entry to the MCC, don't you?
No, you have to play 5 days of cricket for the MCC and be like an established first-class cricketer.
Right. So Kumar Sangakkara still plays the five games, does he?
Well, he's the chairman, isn't he?
He runs the show, Alf.
Yeah, but
he runs the show.
Yeah, he's still got to pay his 500 quid, mate.
Yeah, he still has to pay his 500. Yeah, like they're quite. That they're quite, it's quite a high end thing to be a part of, or that's how they try and see it. So everyone has to pay.
Elitist. Damn.
So what are the chances of the three of us getting in there, Dan?
we'll see how this podcast goes, mate. Well, if it goes all right, then.
Well, worst case, forget about Alf and Phil. Just me, you're going to get one.
Well, if they let Dan in, they let Chavs in, so Phil's all right.
Phil will still bring you six cans though, won't he?
I'm quite happy.
He'll bring
him
a lot of amount of lager that he's allowed to bring to the ground.
I am happy quaffing Pimm's and lemonade, mate. Don't
there you
ain't,
mate. Last time I went to Lords with you, Phil, you couldn't believe it was 11 quid for a jug of Pimm's.
I was going to say it, 12 quid.
Fucking Southerners.
I don't think that was Lords. That was, we went to Trent Bridge, didn't we? Where did we go watch the test?
Well, it might have been the Weatherspoons, mate.
Yeah, to be fair. Could have been a glass of rosé down Lizard Lounge, mate.
You're the classic, though, Phil. Any Northerner who comes south and it's... all they talk about is a fiver for a pint. It's fiver for a pint in there.
It's about 4.50 here if you drink Peroni, mate. It's getting dear here. So, but I'd imagine Peroni's about 8 quid in London, mate, now, isn't it?
I'm over the moon, mate. I'm over the moon. And if it's $4.50 a pint, I'm all over it.
Yeah, well happy to change from a fiver.
Yeah.
Dan, where's the best place you've toured and the best night out? And who was involved? Because you've been around for a while now, haven't you? Even though you're only, what are you, 23?
22.
My God.
Right, I've managed to tour a few good places. Well, I'm going to answer this correctly so the missus is happy. we had a cracking tour to Barbados have you lads been there?
Yeah,
it's unbelievable. Lights. Yeah,
Harbour Lights. I've been Benidorm, Dan. I've been Benidorm, not Barbados.
You go to Benidorm three times for the price of that t-shirt, mate.
Well, yeah, especially now.
But go on, sorry to interrupt you, Dan.
Yeah, I went to Barbados, and like Alf said, it was $20 for unlimited drink in a bar called Harbour Lights for the whole night. And
nice.
Yeah, we had a cracking pre-season there. Probably wasn't the best for the cricket
or the rig.
They have a bit of the karaoke in Harbour Lights, didn't they?
No, I don't think so.
No, not from what I remember.
Just an unlimited...
It's like a bar upstairs and then like a beach on the bottom floor.
Well, I bet come on Eileen, Bill, at full 10 bell.
Yeah, I'm take that all day long, mate. Could it be magic?
But actually, Dan, you've got a good karaoke song of choice, haven't you? Well, we sung it together once.
Oh, brilliant. Yeah. Florence and the Machine.
Yeah, I've been forced into doing it a few times, and it's gone from Chingford to, I sing it once a year at Essex. Yeah, I have to get up in the change room once a year and do it. It's a nightmare.
Have you learned the words yet?
Well, I reckon I know the first half, and then I usually get too embarrassed and just sort of sit down and stop. It's never a fun
moment.
Oh,
once you've gone, Dan, once you've committed, mate, you've got to see it out no matter what.
That's the thing. I know I can nail the song. That's the thing. I just don't know what to do with my body. I've got no rhythm.
Get a seat, mate. Sit down.
I've seen him do it and make some big old gun salutes. for everyone listening, the song is You've Got the Dirty Love, is that right? By Florence the Machine and Dizzy Rascal.
Dizzy Rascal, yeah. Do you do the dizzy bit, do you?
That's what it's all about.
Do the dizzy bit, and then I usually get all the lads to come in on the Florence and the Machine bit.
Nice.
Great song.
I'd love to get some footage of that. I'm sure there's some out there.
Well, we'll get you to do that to close the show, Dan.
Absolutely not.
Dan, this question is slightly off topic, but is Adam Zampa as rare as he came across in the test on Amazon?
I think he's actually a bit rarer than what he came across.
Did he make you a coffee?
Did he make you a coffee? Yeah.
He did. He brings his coffee machine everywhere with him. No, he's good. He's a legend. Like, he had the choice of living in Chelmsford this summer and not having Essex to pay for all of it. And he just said nah and bought a flat, or sorry, Airbnb'd a flat for 2 months in Shoreditch just because he wanted to live close to his local. Yeah. Yeah, mate.
If he invited you to his room for a coffee, would you accept, Dan? Because I've seen that. I've seen the test, and it was a bit homoerotic between them two fellas.
Yeah, him and Stoinis do look very close, don't they?
They do, a bit too close. A bit too close, to be fair, but each is to their own.
He's got some good clobber, hasn't he? Some good gums.
Oh, mate, it's amazing. We had an Adam Zampa day last year. it was like alternative dress wear day. And each of us had to give our opposite number 20 quid and go to the vintage store and pick out something for the day. Some of the clobber on display was unbelievable.
What did Zampa wear?
Oh, it's just normal for him, isn't it? I think he had... he just loves a baggy shirt and really, like, floppy Tony Blair trousers. It's ridiculous,
got,
mate.
Who's got the worst gums and in the dressing room apart from Zampa?
Paul. 100%. Honestly,
who's more of a chav, you or Port?
You could honestly put a 20 grand suit on Port and he'd somehow make it look shit. I love him to bits, but yeah, he's such a chav. It's unbelievable.
Who's the best dresser?
Oh.
Cricketers don't generally dress well, do they? You never see them in good gums.
There's some people in the team that think they've got really, really good gears.
Go on.
Well, someone like an Aaron Beard, he's the proper Essex boy look, like tight trousers, really tight t-shirt, and I think he rates himself.
Yeah.
Brownie's always just going to wear blue on blue, Fred Perry polo, that's his lot.
I was going to say, Brownie must have evolved into the old bootcut jeans and running shoes. He must have done by now.
Yeah, no, he's actually had a pair of Adidas sort of hybrid, so you can use them training and you can go out to the pub in them. They're like, he's white. I don't think he really cares, mate, to be honest. There's not loads of pride. But you can put anything in someone like... So now we've had Cookie back in the changing room.
He's a sack of shit, isn't he?
Dan, it's Sir Alistair, mate, please.
It is Sir Alistair.
Sir Alistair.
To all of us. Yeah, whenever he's back in the changing room, he's always looking pretty dapper. He's quite a good-looking fella, isn't he?
He's a farmer, lad, though.
He's quite a smart dresser, is he?
Well, he goes to so many, like, dinners and stuff. So after most days play, he's always suited and booted. But then, yeah, he's very chilled, just like jeans and a polo. But because he's got such a good rig, everything looks pretty good on him.
Well, where do you reckon you are in that team then? A, in best dress and...
Top three, best looking, best dress.
That's one thing I do love about you, Daniel. You are confident.
who's the worst looking fella in the
end? Oh, God. I might let that one slide because I'm going to offend someone.
Who's got the smelliest kit then, Dan? As always, when you come back from club cricket, you come back from the winter, there's always some geezer. It's Phil Stockton at my club. I'll say that now. He's kit.
Oh, the legend.
It absolutely, it walks from one end of the dress. It dresses Stockton. Phil. It actually jumps onto him. It's that smelly. So who's got the worst kit?
So my spot in the change room, I'm next to Adam Wheater and... And mate, his gloves are appalling. I used to smell Billy's gloves when he used to keep for us.
What's it? Are you a glove sniffer? Do you just go around?
I didn't actually sniff it, but the smell was so repulsive.
Where's Dan gone? He's in the box with the gloves again.
Dan's having a sniff in the toilet.
Easy.
Old perv.
Weeks and stuff ain't great, and having to sit next to him, and obviously with all the kit the boys get now, It's got sort of eight pairs of inners on the go that all smell horrendous.
Inners always smell though, mate. Yeah, it's not very fun.
What about the vegan lads? Do they sort of expunge a different type of vegan sweat? You know, people, you know, like the old bodybuilders who are bang on the protein. When they go to the toilet, they just stink. What do the vegans smell of?
Well, yeah, having played with Sids for a couple of years now, he's the only real one I've played with. And Zamp, they're both vegan.
Yeah.
They both smell gorgeous. Not all the time, like aftershave when they go on the field.
Not as gorgeous as Mohamed Amir.
Mohamed Amir didn't use deodorant. He just sprayed
wood.
Sprayed some like Armani on his armpits. He just smelled beautiful all the time.
Nice. Dan, just quickly going back to the vegan lads. Yeah.
Yeah.
Do they shine the ball? Do they obviously lick their fingers, shine the ball, and then lick their fingers again? Because that technically, they're actually not vegan, then, are they?
that's exactly it, Bill. Yeah,
technicality.
Did I do that?
I can imagine Sid does lick his fingers to clean the ball. Yeah, I haven't actually really thought about that.
I'm sure Kookaburra are developing a vegan ball, aren't they? At the moment,
you didn't know that Dan was in a 150 man squad for England, but you know that Kookaburra are developing a vegan cricket ball. Brilliant,
mate.
No idea.
Right, Daniel.
Yeah.
Which was the heaviest night out? You had the T20 finals day, which we actually know wasn't the biggest. There's county championships that you've won, or Finchley at home in the semi-final of the Evening Standard Trophy for Chingford.
Oh, God. So the 2021, we were playing Somerset 2 days later to try and win the championship as well, so... That was just a few beers, and then the members were at the hotel waiting for us. So that weren't too big. Like you said, we had a couple of crackers at Chingford back in the day. Never used to drink beer, so I used to get straight on the old vodkas and
what were they? The screwdrivers.
Screwdrivers.
Vodka and orange, Dad.
Yeah, that's what I used to start on.
What was that when we finished the game at about 2 o'clock, bowled them out for 12 or something, got back to the club
and then Dan
decided to play vodka pong. How old were you then?
I don't want to answer that, mate.
18.
He was 18. 18 and an hour.
Just turned 18.
And you had to have a 2 hour sit down, a time out? And then we went to Jamie's birthday, is that right?
Oh yeah, jeez, I do remember that. I think me and Andrew played vodka pong against each other, and it went a little bit sideways.
Dan, I remember playing beer pong at Chingford and throwing up behind the sight screens on a couple of occasions, mate.
you got to get it wrong at the club, didn't you?
I think my first year I stopped playing, I come over to watch the last hour and the game had just finished. And then you boys got straight in the beer pong and I was on. And I didn't come off for about half hour. I was going. Half 7 when I was in bed.
Thanks for popping in, Bill.
Turned out to watch the last hour. Fuck. Get my stomach pumped.
No. Just get too excited, don't we? It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Dan, we touched on it a little bit at the start of this podcast. But talk us through your bowling action. Where, how, why, and have you tried to work on it? I actually think it's beautiful.
No way.
You know what it is? It actually feels quite normal. That's the weird thing about it.
You've seen it, right?
I have seen it. They showed the finals day on Sky the other day.
Rutherford.
What a lovely ball that was.
That was a beauty, wasn't it?
I gave him the old finger as well, didn't I? The old shaky finger.
You do that day in, day out, Dan, didn't you?
He's gone.
Pitch it out, he's gone. Leg, he's... Yeah.
Tendo had to come in and fold his tongue back into his mouth as well. Was that exciting?
Oh, God, yeah. It's not good, is it?
I think it's...
Yeah, this winter, seriously, I did actually try and work on it a little bit, and then the Lions coach this winter, Richard Dawson, just said, mate, you can't do anything with that.
There's it's like Peterson though, mate, isn't it? They tell the coaches now if they're genius, don't bother changing it. Just let them get on with it if they're getting results, Dan. So you just crack on, mate.
Yeah, exactly. Crack on. Exactly. The game's going mad the way it's being played now. So yeah.
Are you considering an all rounder, Dan, by England?
I can imagine if I did ever get to play Test cricket, I'd just play as a batter, and then maybe in Asia I'd be able to bowl a few overs.
One day cricket.
Yeah, I probably could sneak in. Four or five overs a game if I played.
It's always a part-time spinner who breaks a partnership up in Tests, though. Isn't it? You know, when they can't get somebody out, they would get on Joe Root, or they used to get on. Well, they got on Cookie once, didn't they? But they'd get on a part-time.
That was a bad example. Because there was three overs left in the day, and England needed 8 wickets or something. Yeah, and India were leading by 200 runs.
The old Bob Willis, wasn't it?
Yeah, and they put him with the Bob Willis impression.
Was it caught down the leg side?
What you mean, Phil? Yeah, you're not wrong, mate. You're not wrong.
You still bowl the leggies every now and again, Dan?
Nah, I can't land them, mate. Shocking.
Why do you think it is that? Like, I grew up. I wasn't a leg spinner, but I bowled leg spin. You did too. Is it because we got taller? Is it because you don't get a bowl? Or is it because it's fucking hard? Or is it a mixture of all three?
I think it's a mixture, mate. I used to actually be half decent. And then, yeah, I think I grew. And then I think when I bowled for Chingford a few times, I was just getting spanked everywhere. So I thought, off spin's quite easy to control, isn't it? So I thought I might as well just make the change.
Yeah, at least you get a bowl. Everyone trusts an off spinner and chucking them the ball. No one trusts a leg spinner.
No, never. But now, with all this 2020 stuff going on, I wish I did stick to leg spin.
Yeah, because you don't even have to land them in T20s. You have to land like three out of six. You can get a few half truckers.
I was about to call someone out there from other county, but I just thought I can't do that.
Right, let's quickly run through all the leg spinners for other counties. Does Liam Livingston bowl leg spin?
He does, yeah. He bowls quite well, actually.
Yeah,
he's good, mate. He's nailed it. He just whacks it and bowls a bit of everything.
I actually read something about you and your thought process to T20 cricket now. Is that a thought process that everyone has, or any young batsman has now? Just go out there and whack it, and then deal with the rest afterwards.
I had a bit of a just before the season started. I just said to Mags, our coach, I just want to, if in doubt, just try and whack it out of the park. And Chelmsford's so small, like it only takes half a hit most of the time, and it goes. So I think the way the game's going, and if you want to get picked up in these leagues around the world, that they look at people who can hit sixes. So that's the sort of mindset that I went with.
Dan, just in your defence, actually, and get a bit of a serious sort of point. I feel like you're in white ball cricket. You've been messed around quite a bit, not messed around, but you haven't identified a role. You've been up the top of the order. You've been batting three. You've been batting five, six, batting seven. You haven't really nailed down that role of like a finisher or a pinch hitter or, like you said, go after it early doors, because they've had like players like Chopra, Wheater opening the batting. Then they've got like probably two of the best finishers in county cricket with Bapara, Tendulkara in the middle. It's been very hard for you to nail down a role in white ball cricket.
It has been because like you said, with Ravi and Tendo, like they're obviously the banker, and they always wanted me to bat in between them two.
And you've got Wesley as well, who's going to probably take the number three spot or open.
Yeah, I know. It's tough work. Like, obviously, in the ideal world, I'd love to open, because that's...
It's the easiest place to bat, isn't it?
Easiest place to bat, and that's where you get... That's where you sort of get recognised the most. But I think because I've... Well, they reckon I can play spin quite well, so they like me coming in the middle and doing that. But I know what you mean. I've been a bit up and down.
Hang on, how's opening the easiest place to bat when the fucking ball's doing triangles at you?
Have you ever watched a T20 game? Have you ever watched a T20 game?
Well, T20, I suppose, fair enough. That's what we're talking about, you tit. Three balls, mate, outside off stump every time. I don't even bother going up that far.
Yeah,
T20... Again, go on, Dad, sorry, mate.
So, yeah, go on, T20, the ball don't do anything. So, like I said, at Chelmsford, with only two people on the boundary,
Has it just come flying off the bat straight for fourth, rock hard?
Yeah, it's an absolute pleasure at times to bat.
And then also, like, that sort of role that they're talking about you doing in between Tender Scar, Bapara, as that sort of finisher, that takes sort of years to sort of master, really. Like, you need to be in, like, difficult positions and then get experience of taking a team home. And like you said, you're only 22 years old, so I think that will come with experience.
Yeah, definitely. You know what it is? Like, I know I'm only 22, but I've played quite a lot for Essex now. Cricket, so I can no longer say that I'm just like the young lad who can afford to keep messing up. And last year was the first year that I actually contributed quite a lot, like, to winning games, and it's just sort of thinking.
Cricket's all in your head, Dan, isn't it? 70% of the game is in your head, as well as 30% skill, 70% concentration and effort.
Massively, it's just cricket. Committing to a decision, isn't it? That's the thing. Yeah.
So, Dan, explain to me then, with that mindset, that newfound mindset you've got, why is it whenever you come back and play for Chinkford, you always get single figures?
Well, it's usually because me and Alf get it a bit wrong on the Friday night before. That's why I can't see the ball.
You need to learn off Brownie, mate, because Brownie's fucking unbelievable at that at club cricket.
No comment.
Let's get off the serious stuff now.
Dan,
why do you... this is a question from Billy. And I noticed this now that he said it. Why do you grab your bollocks after you hit a boundary?
Michael Jackson.
I've noticed it. I'm watching the TV, right? And like, you've just whipped this bowler off, like, outside off stump, right? It's gone to the boundary. You just give your bollocks a little flick.
He does it without foul.
He's staring at you, and you're just looking back. You give your bollocks a little flick.
you're subconsciously saying you're the bollocks. Is that what it is? Oh,
or have some of that.
So if I had a good whip, it does make my balls tingle. It's
you're just dousing them down.
That's why I have to use that mint stuff in the showers, Dan, because I haven't got a good whip.
Oh, well, the original sauce.
The original sauce, yeah. Oh. Fucking old bottle, mate, after the game.
I forget you going.
Get that on the ring, mate. Get that on.
Do you know you're doing that, Dan?
Not a clue. I'm a bit of a fidgeter, but I didn't know I was... touching the old boy after every whip.
I can imagine next year he makes the Ashes, or whenever the Ashes is.
I'm going to be so subconscious about it now.
No, you won't. You'll put Josh Hazlewood or Pat Cummins down the game. You just flick your nuts with your shirt hanging out.
You may as well get a sponsor on your crotch, Dan, to be fair.
One thing I'll always say, like, whenever I watch you in the box, Dan, or live, you've not changed one bit from that scruffy 11-year-old who I gave your debut to in the second team, right? No matter what level of cricket you're playing, you still look like a sack of shit on the pitch. Your shirt's all creased, yeah? Like, you've got a runny nose, yeah? All your kit's dirty. You're playing the same shirts you played, like, in the nets at training. Are you still treating the bowlers with the same disdain by flicking your nuts? Don't tell me that's going to change when you go to your father-in-law's gaff at Lords and play against Australia.
Oh, God, yeah. Same things. Oh, mate. When they heard my voice when I first came over to their house, it must have been a bit of a shock to the system for them.
Who's this pleb you brought home?
Who's this rapscallion?
No, you've got to be a social comedian, haven't you? You've just got to put your...
Do you reckon that if you didn't play cricket...
You've got to put your posh voice on.
Or weren't you? Or you weren't good at cricket, do you reckon you'd be in that house?
Absolutely not.
Because you are fucking punching, mate.
Down the builder's yard, wasn't he? Dude, stacking a few bricks.
It'll be with...
It'd be in Benidorm with you, Phil.
Yeah, PRing.
Living it up, it'd be brilliant.
And one more thing that's not quite serious in nature... we've picked this up as well, listening to some of the live streams that Essex have. Sometimes they'll have Sky will get down there for the last game of the season, especially in the last couple of years. When Simon Harmer's bowling and there's eight men round the bat, what are some of those noises we can hear after it smashes someone in the pad? Can you talk us through that?
A couple of wheeze, isn't there?
How's it going, Bill?
We are.
In India.
Did you just come? where did that originate?
Well, I've picked up so much from Billy over the years that I know Brownie loves it as well. So whenever there's like a play and miss or something, we'll look at each other and give it the big "oi" every time.
Didn't you say Cookie got involved as well? Alistair Cook, is.
He loves it, mate. He loves it.
Can you imagine Alistair?
Thing is, though, like, I know he's quite serious, and I know like the cricket we play is quite serious, but our lads are brilliant. So it is always a good laugh. He was just playing a really good standard club game most of the time.
I think you do get that vibe, definitely.
Just from the ground, you only have to rock up there and it looks like a club ground.
No, it's brilliant, isn't it?
You couldn't imagine that, like, the Essex boys being the Surrey team. It just wouldn't fit, would it?
Nah, it's not quite the same environment, is it?
Do you reckon you'll ever leave Essex, Dan, if somebody else came call? Say, I mean, I know it's a
Phil, you can't
question.
Ask that question, you tit.
Could you see yourself as an Essex boy for life, or could you ever see keep your options open, maybe go abroad, or maybe another county? Could you ever see that happening, or are you Essex through and through?
For the moment, yeah, I'm Essex through and through. I played all my club cricket there and stuff like that, and I love playing for Essex. We've got a great group of lads. But obviously, if I think the only way that I'd leave is if they didn't want me anymore.
Yeah,
I think that would be the only way that I'd leave.
Sorry, I put you in a position there, mate. I sort of realised was a big question.
Dan, let me just correct you there, mate. The only way you leave is if the dollar comes calling, mate.
Lancashire have got 250k a year here, mate. You'll be up to all trapping.
Lancashire and Surrey haven't furloughed anyone.
To be fair,
Lancashire announced record profits last year, and they got a bit of dollar floating around.
To be fair, Dan,
they've got a bit of dough.
You have come
all about that, lads.
No, exactly. Yeah. You have come a long way since you crossed the road on Station Road in Chingford and ordered Billy to give you £1.
Yeah, I wanted three hot wings from the chicken shop, didn't I?
I bet your father-in-law's never had three hot wings, has he?
He had that KFC yesterday. It was very un-jazzery.
Oh, it's just to make you feel at home, isn't it?
It certainly is.
Finally, Dan, this follows this quite nicely. If you weren't a cricketer, what would you be?
Oh God, mate, I honestly couldn't tell you. I don't know. I'd be poor. I reckon I'd be struggling, mate. Some sort of labour work, like Phil said earlier.
You make a good bricky, mate. You got a good set of hands, Dan, aren't you? Be no problems, mate, on the show.
Well, I'd love to do that.
There's one thing you wouldn't be in, it's a fucking model.
Hey, you could be an extra on The Only Way Is Essex if Diags gets ill.
Oh, God.
Daniel, quickly, I've got a couple of quotes, just two quotes for you. You can confirm or deny these. They're not going to get you in trouble. Well, the first one is, I have a better flick shot than AB de Villiers.
There's context to that. Yeah, I did say that.
And what's the context?
God, when did I say that?
You said
I was on holiday somewhere. And I think I'd had a few too many. And I think I was with Jamie. Yeah, I was talking rubbish and said I've got a better flick shot than AB de Villiers. Yeah, I did say that.
Do you still believe that you have a better flick shot?
Yeah, what's the context, though?
He was just battered, that's the context.
That's the context, yeah. I wasn't thinking properly.
So in hindsight, you don't think you have?
It's probably not a fair reflection, is it? No, I definitely haven't got a better flick shot than AB de Villiers.
I bet he's better at tennis than you, Dan.
And golf. And swimming, and pulling birds. And another one is, and I only remember this as I was playing golf today, I don't know why. Did you say, I want to be like Alfie when I'm older?
Oh, apparently I did.
Who told you that?
I don't know, it gets brought up at the club all the time, doesn't it? Yeah, well, obviously, when I was younger, we spent a fair bit of time together, didn't we? And I,
Yeah, I probably said it, mate. Probably.
Thank you, lucky stars, Dan. It didn't happen, eh?
Yeah, now Alfie wants to be like you when he's older, Dan.
No, he wants to use my ID, doesn't he?
You're only your egg and bacon tie, mate. That's all I want from you. Right, Dan, you've never listened to a podcast. You barely reply to our messages, so you won't know what's going to happen now. So we get questions in from our listeners, and they can be anything cricket related, and we answer them as best as we can, and we'll get you to give your input too. So the first one's from Carl from Twitter. I've heard a lot of attempted cricket Cockney rhyming slang over the years. Do you have any personal favourites? I'll let you fire away, Dan. Ooh. Unless you need some inspiration. We all use them.
Yeah, there's quite a few. It's not really Cockney rhyming slang. It's more just sort of using other words, like for bowl, I'd say I fancy a jam roll, or there's quite a few stupid ones, but actual Cockney rhyming slang I struggle with.
A personal favourite is going for a David Gower.
Yeah, that's pretty decent.
You got any, Bill? Phil?
No, I haven't actually. No,
oh, brilliant.
No, we're just directly offensive up here, mate. We just say it how it's the exact words.
I'm just trying to think. You got the classics. I've never taken a Michelle.
Oh yeah, yeah,
nice. Michelle
Pfeiffer.
Nice. There's another one as well. If there's a veranda, you get on the Saywag, don't you? Or the Vernon Philander can work for that one. Think of too many else off the top of my head, Carl. I hope we've helped you there, Bill. You
haven't answered Bill, that very well, have
no,
we?
No, Bill, you look uninterested there as well. Falling asleep.
Bill's had enough, yeah, mate. Yeah. He's had enough.
Me?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's had enough. As soon as you said Vernon Philander, it got his goat up.
Vernon Philander. What's that stand for?
Veranda.
Veranda.
The Saywag's
better. Talking about that, there is a lot to be said for a balcony at a cricket club, isn't there?
There's nothing better.
I think all clubs should have balconies, mate.
Yeah.
Nothing better. You're out of the way of the crowds as well, aren't you?
I was going to say, what cricket club do you play for, Phil?
Nantwich now, mate.
Oh, yeah, you get a few people with plunging necklines down there, do you?
Yeah, we get quite a few watching actually, mate. But they're all girlfriends and wives.
What,
of
the third team
cricketers? Yeah, in the third team, Alf, on a Sunday.
You've just admitted to perving on all your teammates' wives and girlfriends.
No, the opposition's wives when at away grounds, mate. We haven't got a balcony, have we?
I don't know.
No, we haven't got. Well, you'll come up this year. You have to come up in the summer. Well, in the summer, it's now, isn't it? August the 1st, I think we're starting.
Mate, it's good effort for third teamers to have balconies. You have to eat your tea outside.
I'm a second teamer, Bill.
Oh, sorry, mate.
I'm not playing at Chingford now.
Coronavirus struck hard up north then, isn't it?
Well, I tell you what, keep having all these protests and what, it'll be another round of coronavirus and the cricket will be off, mate, won't it, at this rate? It's not looking good.
Right, sorry, Carl. Yeah, that wasn't brilliant. But moving on, Steve M, again from Twitter. Is it acceptable for the home team to eat first at tea? As in, go up to the queue first? And is
that's bollocks. What a load of bollocks. Sorry, mate, I've had enough of that. the amount of times you come in and then some old cunt at the bottom, no, opposition first. Fuck off. Like, if they're sitting in the changing room having a fucking debrief while they've been smacked for 800, then they don't deserve any fucking tea.
Well, I think... Yeah.
Phil, I'm going to disagree. I agree with you if they're all sat in the dressing room, but I think it's polite. It's good manners to let the opposition eat first, isn't it?
Nah, I disagree as well. I just think, fuck it. We all pay the same money. Just go up there, eat what you want, and... Actually, that's one thing. Did you do that, Dan, in professional cricket? Did the opposition go first? Or is it just free-for-all?
No, opposition go first. If they're fielding, say at lunchtime, yeah, if I'm in the queue waiting and then a couple of their bowlers come up, you have to let them through. I don't know who started the rule. It's a load of bollocks, isn't it? Like Bill said.
I bet you went first and fucking played at Norfence.
There's nothing left, mate.
Fuck me. What? Man, like, I think we are. Who do we ask? We asked Quinny about it. Quite polite about it, right? What are they like in the flesh? Because on TV, I know TV adds a few pounds in that. Fuck me. Like.
We know what those boys do, don't they? They're fucking straight in there.
Fuck. Like,
yeah, big boys, aren't they?
Some of them actually come over there in good shape. And then 2 years later, fucked. Gone.
Imagine what they're going to come out of lockdown like, Bill. It'll be a right mess, won't it? It'll be like Mr. Blobby, 11.
I was going to say, what were the lunches like at North Ends?
They're in Div 2 anyway, aren't they?
Right there, no,
it has been a while, actually. What can I remember? I can't really remember, mate. But I can't imagine it's that healthy.
What gives you that idea?
Papa John's just rocking up at 10 o'clock.
They're actually sponsored by the local pizza house as well around the border. I do remember that, having a giggle at that when I was there.
Ali Kebabra.
Do you know what's another thing at tea as well? I don't mind whoever goes first, but if someone sits in the home team spot, but it's like unofficial, isn't it, where you actually sit? People should just know where you sit. You don't put a little plaque down that says home, but if the opposition sit there, you're absolutely rattled, don't you think? Or has that not happened at your club, Phil?
Those rules apply. Counting cricket, Dan, do you have the tables in like a long table? And if so, does Tender Scott sit at the head of the table?
I think if there was a long table, yeah, he'd be running proceedings from the top. But no, it's just that. Well, like you can see at Chelmsford, the facilities aren't. Yeah, the facilities aren't
inspiring. Well,
that flash. yeah, so there's usually about 30 of us in a really small room. And obviously, if you've had a bit of chat on the field before, it can be quite an awkward.
Yeah, a bit awkward.
It can be quite an awkward sort of 10, 15 minutes. So if you're batting or something, you can just get the 12th man to go and bring your lunch down to you in the changing room.
Nah,
mate. That's fucking disgraceful.
He's been hiding in the changing room.
In the professional
didn't mean
game,
to hurt you, Dan.
In the pro game, do people go through each other in the dress? Because at cricket, like if somebody messes up, it's 10 seconds in it, and you don't really because everybody's there as an amateur. They're there for fun. Essex or pro game, if somebody messes up, did they go through each other? You know what I mean? I mean, did it get into like, you know, people grab by throats or like scuffles or to ever get really
what for nicking off on a green one?
No, I don't know. If somebody's done something really stupid after they've been told not to do it four or five times, does it ever get like a bit tetchy and heated?
No, I've never seen anything come to sort of like physical blows or anything, but yeah, but losing. If you lose a few games in a row, then it's always just the awkward, really awkward silence for 30 seconds when sort of no one knows when to actually say anything. And then you always get the same bloke who just bollocks everyone. So it never gets the blows, mate.
Because it's your livelihood at the end of the day, isn't it? And if somebody's messed something up, I suppose I could imagine that if you're thinking about getting a contract at the end of the season and stuff, I'd imagine it would wind you up at times. Not everybody's guaranteed to be there next year, are they? And if somebody keeps making a mistake and somebody's had a good performance, but it's not shown because somebody else has messed up, I'd imagine somebody would get quite heated.
Yeah, definitely. Well, I think the most important thing is to not like bitch about each other or anything like that. So if you actually have got an issue, but like, we're quite good for that, we'll just sort of say it in the changing room and then squish it. Like, yeah. I think if you've got like an honest environment where you can sort of tell your mates where they've buggered up or got it wrong, then it's fine. It's just if people start talking about you behind your back and stuff like that.
And do you get cliques? Do you get cliques like you do at club cricket sometimes? Have you ever noticed that?
In our changing room, we really haven't got one. Like we've got a massive... We try and get all the second team boys involved in sort of every sort of social... There's no real sort of like seniority. Like even when Cookie comes back in the changing room, like the boys will still get stuck into him just as much as they'll get stuck into like a me or something or anyone.
I think that's probably a big part of your success though, Dan, because you've been quite a tight-knit group. there's not really been many outsiders like come into the team. Like Chopra and Wheater have joined the last sort of four or five years. They've already played for Essex, so they're sort of already within the setup. And then obviously a lot of boys who have come through the system, the Essex League system, through the second team and then into the first team. Now I think that's like probably a massive part of why you've done so well over the last 3-4 years.
Yeah, well, the thing that's nice about it is that out of our 11, I think we've got six or seven of us that played club cricket in Essex. And then out of our 11, we've got eight or nine who came through the academy. So, yeah, like you said, it's been quite like a smooth transition with the same lads.
It feels like more of a family, really, like mates. So you all back each other up and stick up for each other rather than have a pop.
Yeah, definitely. But the thing is, though, like you're never going to go through a whole season without someone arguing with each other. It's just like, it's just not possible. But like I said, like if you're close enough, like we are, you can have a proper like go at each other for 2-3 minutes and then
dropped, squashed,
and then it's done. Yeah,
good. That's how it should be, mate. Really, shouldn't it?
Yeah. Has that answered your question, Carl? From Twitter?
that one was Steve. What were we talking about?
Eating
first.
I don't know how we got onto that.
That's not about people fighting over the last sausage roll, mate.
Steve, to recap, basically just fucking get stuck in, mate. And if someone stares you down or calls you a wanker for it, fuck them.
Pelt him with a fucking cocktail sausage.
Spray him with some barbecue sauce.
Egg mayo sandwich right in his mush.
Around the chops.
Some of that.
Right, chaps, that's us for today. Daniel, thank you for coming on. It's been an absolute pleasure having you on. And, we wish you all the very best for England. And we hope you manage to get yourself on the big stage and keep flicking those bollocks on.
Yeah, Dan, go get them, mate, because I want some comps when you get to Trent Bridge. So get yourself in there, mate. Come on. Do it for the left.
And also, Dan, does the bet still stand, by the way? Did your old man put a little bet on that you'd play for England?
Oh, yeah, I think he did years ago.
Was it 500 to 1 or something?
Yeah, something like that. And I think he put... tenner on it or something.
50p.
He'll never have the betting slip, mate. He'll have lost that a long time ago, wouldn't he?
He ain't got a prayer, mate.
No, but Dan,
nice one, Dan. Good to talk to you, mate.
Yeah, thanks.
Thanks, mate. Cheers.
Cheers, Dan.
Cheers, guys.